Chapter 3 Alistair is half asleep himself when Zevran says, out of nowhere, "Might I ask you a personal question?" His face is still buried in Alistair's neck, but he sounds about 10 times more alert than Alistair feels. "You're not asleep," Alistair says. The words come out like an accusation. "Asleep?" Zevran makes an offended noise. "Of course not. I was merely gathering my strength." "For what?" Alistair asks, teasing now. "The long walk back to camp? It'll be awful, those 2 flights of stairs. I can see why you'd need to conserve your strength, but I'm not carrying you." Zevran lifts his head, so his mouth is right beside Alistair's ear when he murmurs, "I think I could persuade you otherwise." Privately, Alistair agrees. Zevran could probably persuade him to do a lot of things. But aloud, he says, in his most doubtful voice, "You could try." "Perhaps I will," Zevran says. He nuzzles the hollow behind Alistair's jaw, breath warm, and Alistair is half persuaded already, except Zevran is sitting up even as the thought goes through Alistair's head. "Or perhaps we will save that for later." Zevran's grin is sly. He's still straddling Alistair's thighs, which puts that grinning mouth less than a foot away, well within easy kissing range. "Later?" Alistair asks, without looking away from Zevran's mouth. "Later," Zevran says. "Unless, of course, you would prefer to call our evening's entertainment finished." That gets Alistair's attention, and he looks up to meet Zevran's eyes. "Isn't it? Only if you wish it to be." Zevran's grin is somewhere between teasing and challenging. "But if I have exhausted you already, by all means, let us return to camp." "I thought you were done," Alistair says. He waves one hand vaguely in the statue's direction by way of explanation, trying to indicate its current dormant state. "So soon. What have I done to you that you insult me like this?" Zevran's grin softens into a smile. "I sent our new friend away for a while. Nothing more. I found it distracting, and I wished to concentrate on other things." "Like taking a nap?" Zevran's expression turns unexpectedly serious, and he touches the tip of a finger to Alistair's lower lip, tracing the edge of it carefully. His eyes follow the movement more intently than necessary. "No, cariño. A nap was not what I wished to concentrate on." The implication leaves Alistair breathless, and while he's working on that, Zevran asks, "Why did you not mention sooner that you had never been with anyone before?" "Shit. Shit, fuck, shit, fuck, shit! I didn't mean to mention it at all." This is one of many reasons he hates babbling. There's never any telling what will fall out of his mouth. Afraid to ask, but unable to help himself, he adds, "Is it a problem?" "For me?" Zevran asks. "Certainly not. But for you?" He turns his hand palm up and shrugs, as if Alistair is somehow supposed to know what that means. When he doesn't elaborate, Alistair prompts, "What about me?" Zevran gives him an odd look. "If I had known this was your first time, I would have done things a bit differently." "Why?" Alistair asks, frowning in confusion. For maybe the first time ever, he catches Zevran without a glib answer. It's clearly unexpected for Zevran, too. He opens his mouth and closes it several times as if expecting words to miraculously appear. It takes a while, but eventually Alistair stops reveling in the novelty of that and tries a different question. "What would you have done differently?" A horrible thought occurs to him. Did I do something wrong?" "No!" It's loud, almost a shout, and they both wince, glancing at the closed door. The mansion is large, and the room is at the far end of one wing, but neither of them wants the rest of the party bursting in ready for a fight. "No," Zevran says, more quietly. Then his grin comes back. "You did nothing wrong, but there are certainly more romantic locations than a darkspawn-infested ruin. Had I known you would say yes, I would have taken advantage of one such location in order to take advantage of you, and done it quite some time ago.
You know now, Alistair points out helpfully.
True, Zevran murmurs. Are you suggesting I take advantage of you again?
Well, I'm here, Alistair says. And you're here, and, our new friend is here.
How fortunate for me.
Zevran's eyes darken again, his smile wicked as he slides the ring off his finger to hold out to Alistair.
And what do you plan to ask our new friend to do for you?
Alistair licks his lips nervously and doesn't take the ring. I was hoping you would, do the asking part for me. Zevran exhales sharply, then sits there in silence for a long moment, studying Alistair's face.
I would enjoy that a great deal, he says eventually. Is there anything in particular I should not ask for?
Nothing unfriendly?
Friendly only, Zevran says.
I remember. He trails the ring over Alistair's mouth and along his cheek, the metal warm from his skin.
I can promise to do nothing intended to hurt you. Will you promise to tell me if I hurt you despite that?
Alistair swallows and moves his chin in a jerky nod, unable to speak. Zevran leans forward and kisses him lightly, breathing.
Perfect. Against his mouth.
Before Alistair can try to kiss him again, Zevran climbs out of his lap and takes his hand, pulling him up out of the chair and across the room. The vines are, again, floating lazily in the air, drifting in a current Alistair can't feel. Aside from their stone-like appearance, they could be some especially tall kind of grass. One vine separates itself from the others, breaking the illusion, because as many strange things as Alistair has seen, he's yet to see grass do that.
I thought we might start with an introduction, Zevran says, his smile clearly audible.
Hello, Alistair says to the vine, as dryly as he can, and holds out a hand like this is all perfectly normal. Nice to meet you. Zevran huffs out a soft laugh and sends the vine down to wrap around Alistair's hand. It's almost a handshake, except for the part where the vine continues on, twisting around his wrist and down his forearm in a loose spiral. It's back to the first form it took, crystalline and cool. Its glow sparking brighter wherever it touches his skin. As he's watching it, a second vine brushes against his fingertips. This one has flattened out and turned its edges feathery. It's also blue, very blue, cloudless summer sky, almost luminescent blue. After a startled blink, Alistair glances at Zevran, who smiles back innocently and asks,
"Would you prefer a different color?"
Does it have to have a color at all? Alistair explains.
Close your eyes and you will never know the difference.
When Alistair gives him a suspicious look, he spreads his hands wide.
Have faith, cariño. I promise it will be rewarded.
But then I can't see you, Alistair says. Only after the words are out of his mouth does he realize how silly they are. If the vines are moving, then Zevran has to be in the room. So why does it matter whether Alistair can see him? Zevran doesn't laugh, just steps close enough for a kiss. Not the soft, sweet kiss Alistair is half expecting, either. It's wet and filthy. Zevran's tongue in his mouth and his hands on his ass, while another vine curls around his calf and begins to make its way up his leg. Alistair is gasping for breath by the time Zevran pulls away, but he's still not ready for the kiss to end. Maybe Zevran isn't either, or maybe he's willing to be persuaded. All Alistair has to do is wrap a hand around the back of his neck to hold him in place for another kiss. It's just as filthy as the last one, Zevran's mouth hot on his. Only this time Zevran's hands are on his shoulders rather than his ass. The reason becomes clear very quickly as Zevran jumps up to wrap both legs around his waist. Alistair grabs for his ass on instinct, mostly concerned with catching him, But the vines already have most of his weight. They leave just enough for Alistair to feel like he's holding Zevran up, but not so much that the position will be difficult to maintain. One of Zevran's hands is on the back of his head now, the other arm wrapped tight around his shoulders. Their cocks rub together every time Zevran rolls his hips, which is often, and Alistair would worry about falling over if he could think about anything at all. As it is, the whole world is Zevran, his mouth and his hands and his cock, and his ass, slick under Alistair's hands. Whatever it was that made some of the vines slippery, it's all over Zevran's ass and thighs, tangible reminder of the vines fucking him. Alistair takes advantage of the vines now, of the way they support most of Zevran's weight, to let his fingers slide down between the cheeks of Zevran's ass, just short of his hole. He hesitates there, painfully cautious of how little experience he has, until Zevran grinds down against his hands and hums encouragement against his mouth. Two fingers slide in easily, and when Alistair thrusts experimentally, Zevran groans, arms and legs tightening. Flicking his fingers over the rim gets almost as good a reaction, and three fingers at once has Zevran's back arching. Something, one of the vines, pushes Alistair's hands away, letting Zevran put his feet down and step back. This time when Alistair tries for another kiss, Zevran smiles but shakes his head. I would hate to forget all the lovely plans I have for you. We could make new plans, Alistair says. We could, Zevran allows. But I believe my original plan will be to your liking. If you will close your eyes for me, I promise to be sure you always know I am here. Arguing is an option, especially since Alistair is beginning to suspect that Zevran is as susceptible to him as he is to Zevran. But he's curious. Zevran is the one with all the experience, after all. So Alistair drops his hand back to his side, closes his eyes, and prepares to wait. Zevran doesn't make him wait very long. A vine twists around his arm again, lifting his hand and turning it palm up so that another can brush over his fingertips and palm. By the feel, it's the feathery vine from earlier. Alistair wonders if it's still blue, and the thought makes him smile. Ah, Zevran says. Good. I am so very fond of your smile. The feathery vine brushes Alistair's lips, startling but not unpleasant. It feels nothing like fingers, but at the same time, it feels like Zevran is touching his mouth, lightly tracing the edge and then stroking directly across both lips. Do you know, Zevran says, the first time I saw you, I thought, there is a mouth I would like to kiss. Alistair tilts his head away from the vine enough to say, the first time you saw me, you were trying to kill me. The vine flicks over his ear, deliberately tickling, and Alistair swats at it, laughing. And it made me sad to think I should deprive the world of someone so handsome, Zevran says. How fortunate that other options presented themselves. About to make a sarcastic reply, Alistair forgets the words as the vine touches his lower lip again, stroking the inner edge. He opens his mouth a little wider and the vine slips in, between his teeth and over his tongue. It's not feathery anymore. Now it's solid, heavy on his tongue, applying just enough pressure that swallowing is the tiniest bit difficult. A second vine slips into his mouth alongside the first. Neither one is large, but together they stretch his lips as they rub over his tongue and the insides of his cheeks, twisting around each other constantly. He sucks, tentatively, then does it again when Zevran hums in appreciation. One of the vines withdraws and the other swells, filling his mouth by itself. Its texture changes at the same time, the surface yielding slightly, to the pressure of his tongue while the center remains firm. Most of his attention is on the stretch of his jaw and the occasional pleased noises Zevran makes, until the tip of the divine changes shape, constricting in a ring about an inch from the end so that it flares briefly before the curved tip. Alistair's face flushes as he realizes what shape it's mimicking. I will admit, Zevran says, and his voice is closer than it was,
that it took me some weeks to consider what your mouth might look like were it wrapped around my cock. A shocking oversight on my part, I know. His fingers graze Alistair's cheek and lips, tracing around the vine as it begins thrusting steadily in and out of Alistair's mouth. The vine never goes deep enough to choke him or cut off his air, but he can still barely breathe. Zevran's fingers feel as though they're burning him, or maybe freezing. Alistair's skin tingling-like sensation is returning after too long in the cold. Of course, having thought of it once, Zevran says, I will also admit that I may have given it more than an occasional thought since then. He kisses the side of Alistair's neck, and when he goes on, his lips brush the skin with each word. Would it upset you to know there were times I stroked myself to that thought? Alistair is glad the vine fucking his mouth saves him from answering, but the way his face flushes brighter is probably telling more than he wants to reveal. If, by some miracle, it isn't, then the small noise that escapes, despite his best efforts, almost certainly gives him away. Zevran laughs, low and quiet and delighted, as the vine slides out of Alistair's mouth. So perhaps I was not the only one to think such things? There's a moment where Alistair considers lying, or at least pretending he didn't hear the question. But he's not a coward. If Zevran can admit to his fantasies, then Alistair can do the same. I would think about touching you, he swallows. I wanted to touch you. Want to. Do you now? Zevran cups his cheek, his palm warm. And how long have you been wanting it? Too long. Longer than just tonight, then? Alistair doesn't need experience with sex to recognize someone fishing for a compliment. He smiles into Zevran's palm. You really need me to say it? Need? Zevran asks. No, of course not. But want? That would be something else entirely, especially when I have already made my own confession. Confession? Zevran repeats, amused. I don't think it counts as a confession if you're not sorry. Oh, well, in that case, Zevran says, it was in no way a confession, because I am in no way sorry, and you are not answering my question. Alistair's face heats again, just a little, and he shrugs one shoulder. A long time? I don't know when it started, it just kind of snuck up on me. We assassins are masters at sneaking. I've noticed, Alistair says. He's pretty sure his sarcasm lacks sting, but oh well. And yet you failed to notice the exact moment when you were struck by my beauty and wit? Zevran is teasing again, no sign of concern or anxiety in his voice. Maker knows he doesn't need anything that would make him even more self-confident, but Alistair gives him a serious, or at least mostly serious, answer anyway. Not really. I just woke up one morning from a dream about you and realized I'd been dreaming about you a lot, thinking about you a lot. A dream? Zevran says. What naughty things were we doing in this dream? Alistair's face burns hotter. Just kissing? He would be less embarrassed if it had been something naughty. He forces a laugh. Not very interesting, I guess. I disagree. Zevran says, kissing him as if to prove it. Do you find it so dull to kiss me? Alistair snorts his opinion of that. Pretty much the opposite, but it's got to be kind of boring for you. Very much the opposite, Zevran says. I would think that quite obvious by now. But you've, done a lot of different... Alistair trails off, unable to think of a word that encompasses everything, and finally settles on stuff. I have, Zevran agrees easily. And while I enjoyed much of that stuff, I find overall that my enjoyment is less about the novelty of the act and more about the enthusiasm of my partner. Or partners. Alistair's brain tries to go in two directions at once. Part of him caught on partners, and part of him trying to weigh Zevran's sincerity.
It's not easy to decide if Zevran is being honest, while Alistair is also being subjected to a parade of images fueled almost entirely by the pictures he looked at tonight. "I thought you did know that I wanted you," he says at last. "That you were just being nice, not mentioning it." "And here you are, insulting me once again," Zevran sighs, mock sadly. "Calling me such a thing as nice." Alistair chooses to ignore that. "You had to know. You're good with people and flirting." "And yet, reading minds is still beyond me." Zevran sounds like he's holding back a laugh, but at least he's holding it back. "You really didn't know?" Alistair demands, not quite believing. "I did not," Zevran says. He kisses Alistair lightly. "Plain enough to see, you were never at ease with me. But the why of it, that was less clear." "You had to have guesses, though." "I had hopes, let us say." Zevran kisses him again, staying close to nuzzle at his cheek as he says, "But I could never be sure whether those hopes made me see more than was there." Alistair shakes his head and whispers, "It was there." He turns his face to catch Zevran's mouth in a kiss, hit suddenly by the thrill of being allowed to do so. It gives him the courage to say, I thought you knew. And if you weren't saying anything, then that was a no. And I didn't need to embarrass both of us by making you say it." "What fools are we?" Zevran says, too cheerful for the words. His fingers stroke down Alistair's neck and along his collarbone. "So many months wasted, so many opportunities missed." His hand keeps going, down the center of Alistair's chest at a rate too slow to be anything except deliberate tease. "Though all those months allowed me ample time to consider what I might do to you, should the opportunity present itself." Not all of Alistair's dreams had been about kissing. Though with no experience to draw from, they had been mostly limited to jerking each other off, mixed with the occasional hazy, disjointed fantasy of sucking Zevran's cock, or of Zevran sucking his. "When you asked me to tell our new friend what to do to you," Zevran says, his hand now making its slow way down Alistair's stomach, "I considered telling you a few of my ideas in great and glorious detail." His hand stops just shy of Alistair's cock, and strokes back up instead of continuing down. "But on the whole, I think I would rather show you." He sounds so smug, Alistair can't help but shiver in anticipation.